Fitness with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight Talk About Health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
I, Paul Rosen, would be very hesitant to replace any part of my body. So why are people replacing their hormones? We'll find out the pros and cons of that this hour on Health Matters. Good morning. How are you?
Hormones are not a part.
They are not? Well, they are for the sake of that headline right there. That tease right there got us into it. So tell us, Paul, what's going on this morning on the show?
Hot flashes, night sweats, and insomnia. No, you don't have a disease. And conventional therapies like HRT put you at greater risk for cancer and stroke. Here's a safer approach. And why low-fat diets aren't the answer. Plus, your personal care products often make things only worse all this week.
Your personal care products.
I assume you cut that yourself off there.
I did. I turned my microphone off because I was moving some paper around here, which you moved earlier, I might add, and I had to put it back. And therefore, my microphone was off. 503-225-0860 to speak to us directly here on Health Matters. We'd like to talk to you about your health issue. Chat with Paul Rosen. Maybe you can get on your road to solutions. 503-225-0860. Also coming up, Paul, we have a brand new episode of our Health Matters superhero, Health Master, his newest adventure, plus Frontier P. We'll check him out in just a moment. And you are going to be doing another health seminar this very month. When and where is that happening?
Yeah, this month I'll be presenting Heart Health, Natural Solutions for High Blood Pressure, High Cholesterol, and High Blood Sugars at Chuck's Produce in Salmon Creek on 117th Street in Vancouver on a Wednesday, September 20th. Mark that down on your calendar at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited. So we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office and save yourself a seat, 360-750-7375. You'll have to wait until Wednesday this week because Monday is Labor Day.
There you go, 360-750-7375. Paul, we have a very loaded show, obviously, a lot to get to. I do want to do one thing quickly, though. We talked about diets last week, and one of the diets I came across, stumbled across in the process of researching the show was the werewolf diet, which is this silly thing where people plan their diets according to the lunar phases, believe it or not. The phases of the moon determine what they eat. Well, Paul, I actually was admonished by a friend of mine who has tried the werewolf diet, and he's been very happy with the results. So quickly, if you don't mind, I'm going to indulge myself a bit. I have my acquaintance on the phone right now. He's going to tell us how things have gone for him on the werewolf diet. So, sir, you are on the air with Paul Rosen. How has the werewolf diet worked out for you? That sounds pretty positive to me, Paul. What do you think? Yeah, I don't think I would go in for that. And James, our studio engineer, has weighed in with his thoughts on the werewolf diet.
The old cricket routine.
That's correct. Well, how about better? Let's see what Frontier Pete is up to. How about?
Hey, that sounds like a good
idea.
Here
we go.
A moment with me, Frontier Pete, all natural woodsman. Enjoying a visit from my wayward hippie friend, Stoner Saul.
I love communing with the beautiful creatures of the forest, Pete.
That bear ate your leg last year.
I'm happy to provide food for one of nature's great creations.
And the year before that, a moose broke your spine.
Yeah. That rascal.
Well, I hope you'll be more careful this year.
I always bring extra snacks in my pack here for the munches.
That won't help if you meet another bear.
It will if he prefers Doritos.
That's pretty basic right there. An encounter with a hiker who's ready to give up parts of his body, in fact, for the welfare of the creatures of the forest.
That is beyond generous.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty darn silly, I would say. Well, Paul, tell us all about this stuff. Hot flashes, night sweats. Are we referring in particular to events that women experience at a certain age?
We are. Called menopause. And menopause is a period of years in a normal woman's life in which gradual hormonal changes bring about the shift away from the physical capabilities of childbearing. That's really all it is. The unpleasant symptoms women have come to associate with menopause are common only in a small group of women in history, Americans and Northern Europeans in general, over the last 75 years. Interesting, huh? So it's not worldwide. Outside that group, menopause is not so problematic and is taken more in stride as a natural phase in a woman's life with little fanfare and very few, if any, symptoms. It seems that the more simple the lifestyle and the more simple the diet, the more effortless the transition. So throughout history, simple diets have been a function of low income. The most nutritious foods are the least expensive, whole fruits and vegetables, unprocessed dairy. As lifestyles became more complex and incomes grew, expensive, empty, processed, nutrient-deficient foods were popularized by marketing and advertising, the foods of commerce. We call them processed foods, highly processed foods. Less need to exercise, more focus on money, greater stress. The basic formula for the rise of most resistant group of diseases in the history of human culture, those are the degenerative diseases, heart disease, cancer, arthritis, diabetes, osteoporosis. These are epidemic in our society. In fact, I just read some statistics that said that 1 in 3 people are beyond obese in the United States.
Beyond obese. So we're into a whole new category now. Not just obese, but beyond obese.
Even 100 years ago, the diseases I just referred to were very rare. By now, most of us have heard of other societies, very simple societies, societies divorced from this hustle and bustle of the industrial age, where such things. Number one, people live longer, and such complications, especially these hormonal imbalances, just simply don't exist. They don't exist. The hint here, the major hint here is that the industrialized world and the women who are experiencing it are also experiencing, many of them, an uncomfortable transition from childbearing to non-childbearing years.
So let me make sure I understand, Paul. We are talking about at least two factors here affecting menopause in women in industrial areas. One is their diets, and the second is maybe environmental factors.
Indeed. Indeed. And we're going to talk about some of those environmental factors and hopefully raise the awareness of folks, and they can start cleaning things up. But the interesting thing is that it was very common, and it started back in the late 1930s with respect to focusing on estrogen as potentially the cause of this disease called menopause.
Disease? It's classified, yeah, or was classified back then as a disease?
Still is. Yet, it's not.
No, it's normal, I think it's almost insulting to say
it's
a disease. It's
totally insulting. And the Big Pharma and the American Medical Association and the government agencies in general have basically pitched to women for, oh my gosh, decades, convincing them that somehow their bodies are letting them down and they need the, Big Pharma to be able to survive, right, without this hormone replacement approach, then it's big trouble for them. And really, it's not true. It's not true, and it's never been true. unfortunately, that particular approach basically takes responsibility away from women's abilities and capacity, potential, to deal with this on their own safely, naturally, and effectively.
Based on what you're saying, Paul, then HRT, or hormone replacement therapy, is a fairly new phenomenon. Is that right?
Well, yeah, within the last 70-plus years.
Right, and I would put that into the realm of modern history. So basically what they're being sold, what women are being sold, is that you can mitigate the effects of menopause by taking medication. Is that right?
Exactly. So let's take a look at the history just a bit. So in 1938, there was a discovery of something called DES by a Charles Dobbs. DES was supposed to be the first synthetic estrogen. Dobbs first thought DES would solve the problems of menopause, but the American Medical Association immediately began to make extravagant predictions for preventing miscarriages and solving all problems of pregnancy as well. After many years, DES was being prescribed for a safe pregnancy and to prevent miscarriages, and that was promoted every day, every week, 365.
So again, let's make sure I understand. DES was originally promoted as a means of mitigating menopause, is that right, by replacing lost estrogen?
That was the idea, but ultimately it was expanded
to act as something that will help you have a safe
all
pregnancy.
All kinds, yes, a safe pregnancy or addressing miscarriage as
so
well.
So would it have gone then in use from middle-aged women to women of all ages?
Indeed. What a wonderful business model. Huh?
Well, not so much if you're one of those women having trouble because you're taking these medications.
After many years, DES was being prescribed for a safe pregnancy and to prevent miscarriages. By 1960, it was found that between 60 and 90% of DES daughters had abnormal sex organs, leading to high rates of infertility, miscarriages, and cervical cancer. Exactly the types of things that they were trying to treat, which is very common for medications, and we've talked about that. The side effects are basically the same symptoms that the drug is meant to resolve, right? DES sons commonly had testicular dysfunction and were often sterile. As for the mothers who had taken DES, their risk of breast cancer had been increased by 40%. So DES was the first drug ever invented that could cause cancer in the offspring when taken by the mother.
That's pretty horrifying that those impacts go on to the next generation like
but
that.
But still, the drug was not taken off the market until 1971. And that was because by that time, they didn't need DES anymore because ERT, estrogen replacement therapy, as opposed to HRT, which is a broader umbrella, hormone replacement therapy, many, many different types of hormones, right? ERT was off and running. So here's the history behind estrogen replacement. So a guy by the name of Robert Wilson basically wrote a book called The Feminine Forever, 1966 bestseller. He was a New York gynecologist. And Wilson's thesis was that menopause is an estrogen deficiency disease. All the unpleasant symptoms which accompany menopause, and we talked about those, hot flashes, night sweats, insomnia, vaginal dryness, many others, was just simply the result of too little estrogen. An insufficient estrogen supposedly caused a woman to lose her youth, her beauty, her cheerful attitude, according to him, and bone density all at once with the onset of menopause. Of course, not missing a beat, the big pharma stepped in, lots and lots of promotion, lots and lots of marketing, millions of dollars spent, right, in order to promote ERT. Now, the primary study that was the basis for vaulting synthetic estrogen into the limelight, which was originally made as a contraceptive, was a small, flawed trial done in Puerto Rico, in which 20% of the 132 women, only 132, right, suffered serious side effects, including five of them who died. The negatives were swept under the carpet as irrelevant, and the main thing was that the new wonder drug supposedly canceled the horrible symptoms of menopause. The FDA approved, and throughout 1964 and 65, fueled by, again, advertising power of the biggest clients, including magazines like Vogue, Cosmopolitan, and Good Housekeeping, proclaimed the breakthrough that would finally set women free. And instead, of course, the irony was putting them in bondage.
Is this stuff still on the market?
HRT?
I thought that was ERT.
ERT is HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is the big, broad umbrella.
Okay, so it,
where
it takes
all
in
different types of hormones might be used to do one thing or another.
Right.
Not just estrogen, but progesterone and testosterone and other types of things. That's HRT.
Okay.
ERT is just estrogen replacement therapy.
And you were speaking of a specific product that was out there in the early 60s. Is that product still on the market?
You can still get, although the interesting thing is that subsequently, it turned out that by 1975, published findings found that this particular approach caused endometrial cancer. They showed that women who took the new estrogen drugs had just increased their risk of endometrial cancer by a factor of 5 times, unless they had been using the drugs longer than 7 years, in which case they increased their risk by 14 times.
That's pretty horrifying. 503-225-0860 is the number to call to speak to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters, 503-225-0860. And as always, remember, you are not restricted to the topic at hand. Any health issue is fair game.
So by 20 years after 1975, the American Cancer Society conducted a huge 13-year study of some 240,000 postmenopausal women to find the relation between HRT, hormone replacement therapy, now that's what they're calling it, and cancer. Their findings, 40% higher incidence of ovarian cancer. After 11 years of use, the figure went to 70%. So the bottom line is anybody who's using hormone replacement therapy to address menopausal symptoms is simply increasing their risk of cancer by an extraordinarily large percentage. And the estrogen issue, right, replacing the estrogen simply shuts the body down, its own mechanisms, just shuts them down and sends them on vacation.
So do women who opt for these therapies know this? Are they given a disclaimer at the beginning of their treatment that you are increasing your risk of cancer by a huge amount?
Well, you'd have to ask the doctors who prescribe it. I would assume so. I would hope so. But you don't notice millions and millions of advertising dollars being spent on notifying women of the higher risks of HRT.
Also,
right? Whereas before, there were millions and millions and millions of dollars spent broadcasting the wondrous magic of hormone replacement.
Also, in terms of these therapies, Paul, as we all get older, you know, our bodies take off in ways we don't want them to necessarily. Are these billed as maybe mitigating those effects? In other words, if those hips are getting a little too large or, you know, other parts of your body are sagging in ways you'd rather they did not, will hormone replacement therapy help solve that?
I mean, I'm not a big fan. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I can't say that that's true. But the question are those symptoms that you just mentioned, the benefits, let's just say there were some benefits to it, which I cannot at all assert, right? Are you ready to increase your risk of cancer?
That's my point right there, because we're all vain creatures, so somebody may decide, you know, they'll make that trade because they just don't want their bodies being the kind of body they'd rather not have.
So the question then becomes, what are hormones anyway? Hormones are chemical compounds that are players in the most sophisticated and exquisitely balanced internet in the entire body, right? Our bodies are controlled in many ways, managed by the interplay of just many chemicals that we know we call hormones, and many, many more that we don't, right? But disruption of that system results in all kinds of symptoms besides just the usual menopausal symptoms. What are the hormone, the glands that are, they're called the endocrine glands. And the endocrine glands include things like the adrenal glands, the pituitary, ovaries, the testes, the thyroid, the hypothalamus, the thymus. These are many of the endocrine glands that are responsible for managing all different kinds of functions of the human body. Right. And whenever a hormone replacement is used, it literally shuts down one or the other gland, which can't be the answer. Now, there are outlying situations where, say, someone has had thyroid cancer and their thyroid is removed. That's a different situation. But unfortunately, hormone replacement is used across the board for many, many, many conditions, right, that simply don't address the underlying root cause of what's going on. So if the endocrine glands are responsible for the interplay, the managing of the hormones in the body and all kinds of functions, wouldn't it be a good idea to find out what condition they're in and if there are any underlying causes that are preventing or obstructing or impinging the function?
So there's a means,
and fix that?
There's a means to discover the shape of your endocrine glands or the health of them.
Yeah, the shape, I don't know, you're talking about the physical shape, like are they oblong?
That's why I quickly corrected myself and said health instead of shape.
Yes, yes. There is a way, right? There is a way to find out and evaluate what the nutritional condition, the energetic condition of these organs and glands are. And there's also a way to discover why they might be misfiring or malfunctioning. And it can be addressed, and that's the nutrition response testing technique. And that's how we're able to discover what's going on. And we're going to hear from one of my patients who discovered just that.
And again, this relates directly to hormones, as the endocrine gland relates to hormones, correct?
Right, right. Estrogen is just a hormone. Only one of the moving parts of the endocrine system. And so the estrogen is produced in three main places in the women's body. This is important before we go to break. The ovaries, the adrenal glands, and the fat cells. And we'll get to that when we come back.
Okay. Also, later in the show, your shampoo may be killing you. Kid you not, that Head and Shoulders may be toxic. Details later in the hour here on Health Matters.
Indeed. Are we ready to...
You're ready to talk about whatever you want to do, yeah, until we go to news. Remember, folks.
Remember, ovaries, adrenals, and fat cells. That's where the production of estrogen comes from.
And this is Paul Rosen. That's Paul Rosen over there.
Rod McLaughlin over
there. If
you
want to hear more of this program, go to AccuNatural.com and click on the link. It'll take you to the KPAM audio vault, and you can hear past programs.
And in the meantime, stay with us, because we'll be right back.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
There is hope out there.
And you're doing better.
I'm telling people there's an exact plan for you.
Wow.
And it was, I just could not believe it.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
The low-fat diet is a lie, says Paul Rosen. More on that later. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. We'd like to hear from you this morning on the program and have you get on your road to better health by speaking to Paul Rosen. Speaking of whom, Paul, you are going to be having a free health seminar later this month. When and where?
Come join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Heart Health, Natural Solutions for High Blood Pressure, High Cholesterol, and High Blood Sugars at Chuck's Produce in Salmon Creek on 117th Street in Vancouver, Wednesday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free, seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office, 360-750-7300. 70-75.
360-7507375. When we left off, Paul, we were talking about the fact that many hormone replacement therapies aren't what they're cracked out to be. In fact, many women who have opted for these therapies have had very bad side effects, as have their children.
That was really very early on in the history. Now it's very clear that the risks, for the most part, truly outweigh the benefits of that type of approach, even though many practitioners are still recommending them. And it's unfortunate. And remember, before the break, we were talking about the organs of the body, or the glands of the body, or the tissue of the body that is responsible for producing estrogen. We have the adrenals, we have the fat cells, and we have the ovaries. So the question is, what are the impingements or obstructions, right? Well, let's just say interfering with the normal function of those tissues, organs, or glands.
What are the impingements? What do you mean?
The obstructions. Environmental, nutritional. What are the obstructions?
Okay, so
there's certainly no deficiency of synthetic estrogen.
Okay, so things that may disrupt the normal functioning of those parts of the body, right?
So first of all, any woman that I've ever worked with any of these exaggerated menopausal symptoms, in particular hot flashes, right? The one organ which nobody talks about, which is absolutely critical to addressing, is the bladder, the urinary bladder. Who would think, right? What does that have to do with estrogen? Well, it really doesn't. And so generally speaking, without addressing the bladder, you can't address the underlying root cause of what's going on.
By the way, is there another bladder besides the urinary bladder?
Gallbladder.
Okay, well, there you go. That's why we clarify things here on Health Matters.
You thought you... I could see that smirk on your face. You thought you were going to trip me up.
I did.
But you did not.
But we are a multiple bladder society.
That's right.
So we've got
that
covered.
And don't blather about it.
There you go.
No blather.
All right. So continue with your thought, please, Paul.
So,
please go on.
So estrogen then, right? So let's just say, which is obviously true, that the ovaries certainly begin to, they're no longer producing eggs, right? And so, so there is some stepping back of that.
Your hand struck your water bottle there. There you go.
Some stepping back of the function of the ovaries, but the adrenal glands and the fat cells should be great enough, large enough, functioning enough to be able to produce as much estrogen as is needed for a woman.
So those things, if healthy, are doing the job.
Correct.
Do hormone replacement therapy supposedly make up for any lost effect if those parts of the body are not functioning as well as they should?
Yeah, they shut them down.
They shut them down.
That's what hormone replacement does, because the body works with respect to what is called a negative feedback loop. What that means is that if there is the presence of a hormone to a certain degree, that will signal the body to shut down the production of that hormone, and vice versa. Right? So if you're sending signals to the body utilizing synthetic estrogen, then you're shutting down the organs and glands that would normally produce it. Negative feedback loop.
Well, it's exactly the opposite of what I would have thought it was. I would have thought you were enhancing the function of those organs.
No, because it's a negative feedback loop. That's the way the body works. So, number one, why would you want to incur the obvious and proven increase in the risks of cancer, stroke, and heart disease by utilizing these synthetic hormones, right? And also shutting down the actual function of these organs or glands that are supposedly supposed to be responsible for the easy, simple transition from childbearing to non-childbearing, called menopause.
And I think there's a lot of psychological baggage that goes with those changes also. Plus, if you can relieve symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, that kind of thing, I don't know. What risks are you going to be able to take?
Do we have the first segment? Do we have time for the first segment of...
In fact, we don't. We would have to save that for
we'll
the
have
next
to save
segment
it for the next
program.
Segment. But Tracy learned this. She learned that actually addressing the root cause was not only much more effective, but also carried no risk, zero risk of any adverse side effects at all.
So that answers my question right there. One of your old canards, Paul, it's about addressing causes as opposed to symptoms. And perhaps the HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and things like it address those symptoms in a way that the patients find satisfying without them knowing really, you know, that's going to cause long-term negative effects for them.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And there was a point in time in the HRT where the chemists threw in something called progesterone. So it was a mixture of estrogen and progesterone. Progesterone is a precursor for estrogen and testosterone, as well as other natural steroid hormones.
Are these treatments becoming more sophisticated as we go along? And by that I mean, are they advertising themselves as being newer, better than those of days gone by?
Oh, I imagine newer, better is always the state of the art.
And perhaps,
but
too...
newer, better still contains worse.
And maybe, too, these things are being advertised as being easier. In other words, maybe in days gone by, it required X amount of labor on your part. Now it doesn't. Now it's just take this pill and you'll be fine.
Right. That's exactly right. And so... how does the estrogen balance, how is that obstructed in the first place? I mean, is this just at the time that this transition takes place? Or is there something that's happening beforehand?
I'm guessing beforehand.
Correct.
I'm guessing it's how we abuse our bodies at every period of our lives through bad nutrition and also through environmental factors.
So the estrogen basically is... disrupted, becomes unbalanced very early on in not just women, but men as well, due to the over-refined diets that we as Americans generally consume, right? Also, the lack of exercise, and even more importantly, and probably not recognized by the general public, and that is the external toxic sources of estrogen or endocrine disruptors, the chemicals, the tens of thousands of chemicals that our bodies are exposed to.
You say tens of thousands, so I'm guessing the relative impacts of these various chemicals are unknown. If you have that many chemicals working on you being us, how do we know what's worse? I mean, we know we don't want to expose ourselves to plutonium necessarily, but there must be, certain chemicals in our daily lives, in our homes, and the cleaning products we use that are doing us no good.
Yeah, plastics. All the plastics used in, all the different devices and eating utensils and whatnot, PVC, pesticides, soaps, detergents, fertilizers and other types of things, used in modern manufacturing.
And my point, again, a moment ago, Paul, is just that we have no idea of knowing how bad these things are individually and collectively.
Well, not until we start to feel uncomfortable, which is the typical, right? No, there's no gauge. I mean, we have no ability to sense the impending doom that is about to befall us until it is befallen.
Right, and that's what I mean. There's no real meter. Now,
But that doesn't mean that you can't become aware, right, that these things are impinging and that they are accumulating and that you can do something about it.
And related to that, like we said, there are specific products you can rid yourself of and do your health a lot of good. More on that later in the hour here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's ACUNatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, if you have a question, pick up the phone now. Call 503-225-0860. You'll get a free copy of my book if you get on the air, The Missing Piece or The Great Health Heist. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
And if you really think about it, what does medication do except treat the symptoms?
Exactly.
Then once you eliminate that and you reach a different plateau, it's indescribable.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
Non-stick cookware, mothballs, air fresheners, oven cleaner, gas space heaters, these are all common household items which could be doing you damage. More later on Health Matters, 503-225-0860. To speak directly to Paul Rosen this morning, he wants to hear from you, 503-225-0860. Also, as Paul mentioned a moment ago, if you call and go on the show, you can get a copy of one of his books, The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece.
We started to talk about the chemicals and how many tens of thousands out there in various all kinds of products that essentially create the environment for destroying the estrogen balance, you know, in a woman, in a man, resulting in later issues, menopausal issues. A book that you might consider reading, Our Stolen Future, by Theo, that's T-H-E-O, Colburn, C-O-L-B-U-R-N, might be an interesting book for any of you out there who want to enlighten yourself with respect to the chemical contamination, not just of the planet, but how it's affecting you currently right now.
And we'll talk specifically about items you can remove from your home, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My patient, Tracy, who came to me with menopausal concerns, began to avail herself not just of the evaluation using nutrition response testing, which helped us pinpoint her unique circumstances, but also began to realize that treating the underlying root cause was infinitely more successful than just trying to suppress symptoms. Let's hear from Tracy.
Well, I started seeing you about 5 months ago.
And how? How did you come to see me?
Well, I was seeking out you know, to feel better about my health, and I had some issues, and, you know, it's tough out there to get information, and with all the products and everything, it's almost next to impossible to know what to take or not to take and how to feel better. And so I had heard you on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first exposure, and you know, it was interesting to me. So then I went to one of your workshops.
You did.
And that was very informative. And I really got captured when you were talking about providing a roadmap, you know, for myself, for my issues. And I thought, you know, that's it. Because that's the hard thing is there's no map to guide you through diet, you know, taking of supplements, what do you take? So that's what really captured me in your workshop. And then having, you know, that description and kind of a demonstration of the response testing. So, you know, I read your book and decided to pursue the evaluation. And there it started.
Wow. And so what were the, what, if you wouldn't mind sharing, because, you know, this is part of the deal, what were the things you were looking to change about your health?
Well, I am in menopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in my mid-50s. So one of the major symptoms of that, and that's been going on like 8 years, but are hot flashes.
Indeed.
And, they just don't seem to ever go away, and it's constant, and it's like anywhere from, for me, it's anywhere from maybe 10 to 20 a day.
Wow.
And I had weight gain from that. My energy level was low. And I also have plantar fasciitis in my left foot.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was another issue. But, you know, you just get to that point that you're seeking out to find, you know, healthy, natural ways to, you know, remedy those issues. And it's really tough out there to find what's going to work.
Had you, Tracy, tried other things? Had you tried utilizing supplements on your own? Had you tried other types of natural therapies of any sort? Or was it just you were stymied, you were kind of deer in the headlights, you didn't know?
All of the above. You know, I had tried. You hear different things and see different things of this works, you know, so you go out and you look at it and you try it. And
like what?
Oh, primrose oil.
Okay, so you were trying different, yeah, you were trying some of the natural supplements, yeah. Primrose oil. Was there anything else, such as soy, perhaps?
Well, I did. I did go down the soy route, and then I, you know, the more you kind of hear things, you read. Of course, you have the internet at your fingertips.
Indeed.
So start researching, but then it's like, oh no, don't do soy. You know, so it's all very confusing.
Yeah,
it is. It just gets you to the point where you're so sick and tired, but you know, you just don't know what to do next.
And I think that's I think that is exactly the key. It's the confusion. It's, you know, and even for me as a practitioner, having studied, you know, in many places of the world to accumulate the skills and the knowledge that I have.
Right.
It didn't help me when I was 45. I mean, you know my story. At least you've
right.
read about it.
Yes.
You know, I was almost dead. I mean, my health had totally crashed, and I was scratching my head as well. And I was actually helping other people get well.
Right.
As a profession.
Right.
So yeah, the confusion and you know, and how to create with certainty, how to create that roadmap, huh?
Exactly.
Well, can you imagine, Paul, and I imagine some women listening right now don't have to imagine, 10 to 20 hot flashes a day. Mm. That's phenomenal. How disruptive would that be to your routine?
It's very disruptive. And the other thing that's important to note, although this is a more of a, you know, geeky practitioner thing, and that is she had plantar fasciitis along with the hot flashes. That is very interesting. And not uncommon, right? Because in the acupuncture world, the Oriental medical world, utilizing acupuncture and meridian therapy, there is the urinary bladder and kidneys, which are connected.
Okay, hold that thought, Paul. We'll finish that next hour.
Run right to the foot. They run right to the foot.
Okay, well, fat can make you thin. That's all I'm going to say. We'll cover that next hour here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back for the next hour of Health Matters. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight talk about health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
Ladies and gentlemen, your government is making you fat. Paul Rosen over there probably knows what I'm referring to. That's been happening for at least 40 years now, maybe longer. We'll elaborate shortly here on Health Matters. Paul, what else is happening on the show this hour?
Well, we have been talking menopause, hot flashes, night sweats, and insomnia, and we're following along Tracy's story. We started that last hour, and we shall continue with her story. And we're going to talk about why low-fat diets aren't the answer and why they actually aggravate the not just menopause, but so many of the other hormone-related dysfunctions. And then personal care products and how that weaves in to the menopausal story and why those are extremely important to become aware of.
And also why those products may be doing damage to your health in general. 503-225-0860 is the number to call to speak to Paul Rosen on the air, 503-225-0860. If you call and chat with Paul, you could get a copy of one of his books, The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece. Also, we're going to hear from Health Master in just a second. And Paul Rosen, when and where can people meet you next?
Give us the mic.
You have it.
Oh, okay.
And the room.
Come, join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Heart Health, Natural Solutions for High Blood Pressure, High Cholesterol, and High Blood Sugars at Chuck's Produce in Salmon Creek on 117th Street in Vancouver, Wednesday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office. We're not first thing this Monday, but in the following Mondays after Labor Day. 360-750-7375 and save yourself a seat.
360-750-7375. I'm going to give this up right away, Paul. I said a few minutes ago that the government may have been making us fat for about 40 years. It was in 1977 that the U.S. government issued national dietary guidelines saying that low-fat diets were heart healthy. Well, you can elaborate on that for us, but we know that low-fat diets actually make us fat, and we'll tell you why in just a few minutes. First, though, Paul, it's time we heard from our Health Matters superhero, Health Master. Are you ready?
Am.
Here we go.
The Adventures of Health Master, Champion of the Nutritious.
This just in, as seen in this horrifying live video, the cremator is still destroying large portions of the city with a massive flamethrower attached to an armored death machine.
Destroyed my business. Now I'll destroy the city that ruined me.
Dozens of buildings and one city bridge are already in flames.
Anyone bring marshmallows?
And nobody brought marshmallows.
Awful cramped in here, Major Atomic.
Roger that, Health Master.
Only a retired superhero like you would possibly maintain a World War II era tank in working condition, Major Atomic.
Affirmative, Mr. Librarian. Say, either of you fellas know what a car looks like when it's been crushed by a tank?
Wait, don't!
Well, that's what it looks like.
We're supposed to be confronting the cremator with the flamethrower on this tank.
Just having some fun on the way, Health Master.
Why would you want to crush parked vehicles?
They're too tough to catch when they're moving.
Who are you idiots in the tank?
Okay, we have a visual.
Put me on speaker.
This is Health Master, cremator. Stop this insanity now, or Major Atomic will burn your armored vehicle to ashes.
What makes you think the puny flamethrower on that tank can do any such thing?
Major Atomic?
Firing! So to speak.
The cremator's armored vehicle is completely engulfed in flames.
Okay, I guess it can do that. Whatever.
Give up quietly, cremator. It's over.
I can still make my escape, Hellmaster.
The only way out is over that bridge. The one you already set on fire.
I'll just leap right over it.
That's impossible.
You'll never make it.
Don't do it, cremator.
I'm not sure of much, Hellmaster, but I am sure I can do this.
shouldn't have been so sure.
That was a beautiful memorial service you conducted, Healthmaster.
Least I could do.
But whose idea was it to perform the cremation in front of the mourners?
There was a deadline. We had to get it done before the coupon expired.
Almost cried when you put his ashes into the urn.
Me too. They were still hot.
Healthmaster!
Healthmaster!
Nothing was really engulfed in flames during production of this episode.
How about that, Paul? That was an exciting episode.
That was
think?
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Oh, Healthmaster well. Triumphs again.
And indeed.
In high style.
And
as a
why?
Matter of fact.
Because he doesn't eat processed food.
Bottom line on every adventure is that Healthmaster comes out ahead because of the absence of processed foods
indeed. And sugar.
In his life.
Does not consume sugar.
Now, speaking of foods and foods which have been marketed as being healthy for us when they are really not, low-fat foods. What's the problem with those, Paul? On the surface, that sounds really good. Low-fat, we all know fat's bad for us, right?
No, we don't. And we have said many, many times that high-quality fats are not just not bad for us, but they are essential. Now, the last hour I was talking about hormones. Now, hormones are made from cholesterol. So if you deprive your body of high-quality cholesterol, right, then you're going to deprive your body of its ability to actually make hormones, thus estrogen deficiency. Simple connection.
There you go. So we've tied all this together. Not only does fat work for us in a healthy sense in every way, you know, for all of us, but also in particular for women experiencing menopause.
And not only does do low-fat diets deprive you of high-quality oils and fats, like fats from, you know, pasture-raised, hormone-free, you know, soy-free meats, as well as raw dairy, pastured dairy, but raw, not pasteurized, and eggs, which are all three of those have been demonized for the past, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years. But these low-fat diets, you know, as I say, they prevent they can create estrogen imbalances. But not only that, but they also increase the potential for consumption of more carbohydrates, which we now know, high glycemic carbohydrates, which we now know are primary in the culprit of so many of these overall degenerative diseases. Heart, you know, cardiovascular ill health, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more, right? All the degenerative diseases. And so, right, you've got to get the nutrient density from someplace, and getting it from low glycemic carbohydrates, and dairy and eggs and meats.
So what I'm hearing here, in addition,
are important.
In addition to good fats and bad fats and good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, there are good and bad carbohydrates.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the oils go, coconut oil, olive oil, sesame oil, butter, these are all extremely important and useful oils. Should not be using vegetable oils. No, no, no. Avoid them. Vegetable oils, avoid them. Right. And especially canola oil. Oh, my gosh. Never.
Just bad news. My understanding, too, Paul, is that in addition to whatever chemical reasons we may experience from low-fat diets, chemical things that will make us fatter, if you're eating low-fat food, you're really not satisfying your appetite.
So exactly.
You'll just eat more later, right?
Which is why everybody, you know, why most people have the munchies, aside from those who are partaking in you know, the most recently legalized marijuana. But yeah, it's why the appetite is almost never suppressed. It's why people eat a meal and they go back and they have to continue eating, or they eat more, you know, with a matter of 15 minutes, a half hour after they've already eaten.
And I wonder what the rationale is that we create for ourselves in that regard. We have a nice low-fat meal, you know, maybe we've planned that out even, and we're proud of ourselves for having done that. Then later we reach for a big bag of Doritos.
Indeed.
And because it's just, we're still hungry.
It's so common, right? And that aggravates, those foods all aggravate the menopausal condition. All of them. Right? And Tracy will attest to that in her ongoing saga of finding her roadmap, utilizing nutrition response testing, right? And coming out the other end, feeling much, much better.
And before we hear our next segment of Tracy, we invite everyone again to call us at 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. Paul Rosen here on Health Matters is very eager to speak to you, and you should be eager to call because you may get on your road to better health right away. Paul, should we check out Tracy?
Indeed.
Okay, so Tracy had all kinds
Part
of issues.
Two.
Here we go.
Well, I tell you, the roadmap that through your evaluation that you laid out for me it's been wonderful, what you are having me do diet-wise. Of course, I've always felt diet is so important, what you put in your body and it has effects on your body so it's important to put good things in your body.
You knew it was important, but you didn't realize really.
No.
How important?
No. No, I didn't do it, but I was still doing stuff that ultimately was not helping me.
Such as what?
Well, soy would have been huge. That does me no favors.
But that's big, though.
It is big.
I mean, that's because this is the huge push, especially for women who are struggling with menopause.
Right.
I mean, you're told even by professionals.
Right.
Even by the people, God bless them. But some of my colleagues are still pushing soy because,
Right.
And it turns out that nothing could be farther from the truth for most people.
Right. And for me, and when I started really looking at soy as, okay, if I'm going to eliminate soy out of my diet, from in my environment, which was huge, I went through my house and just cleaned out so much product that had soy in it.
That you didn't know about?
I didn't know about.
Like what?
Lotions, anything that you put on your skin, cleaning products. Candles. I couldn't believe how much soy is in candles that you burn. I don't burn a lot of candles, but, still, it was like, oh, my gosh, So I just started vamping through my house, just, replacing it with products that I know now are, healthier, better, don't have soy. So, and it's actually simplified.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean, and that's of course part of your individualized roadmap,
right?
Part of what we call your individualized nutritional healing program,
right?
Is you've got to find those things, and it's about constructing an environment that enables your body to do something that we call regulate. Now you know what that is now.
Yeah, I didn't before. Yeah, I was amazed when I got on the program and changed. I was going through, and it takes a period of time. You are going through these changes where you're eliminating things and adding things. But I within a week after taking the supplements.
Yeah, the standard process stuff that we use.
Yeah,
the
supplements, which are awesome. Immediately, within a week. I felt my my bladder functioning better and doing what it needs to do where it really wasn't. And, that was very noticeable right off the bat. And just that these vitamins, how it used to be some vitamins, you take them and then you're feeling sick. But these were like a meal. These were good. I didn't have any effects of not feeling good. I felt good. I felt like every time I take my vitamins, I feel like, that's a meal really in itself and feel good.
And that's the difference between synthetic products and whole food products. And beyond that, the standard process being the whole food products, beyond that, though, identifying with specificity to you.
Exactly.
Those food products.
Yeah.
So it's not just, any old food product.
Right.
And that's something you learned.
Exactly.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
For that, because it's been, for 5 months, it's been wonderful. And don't take my supplements away from me.
Never.
And then, of course, in your evaluation, had me cut out grains and sugars.
For you.
For me.
Right.
And that was. That was a good thing.
She mentioned candles as being one of the household products, Paul, with soy in it, therefore something unhealthy for her in particular. And I think that will relate directly to some of the other household products we'll be discussing later, which may have harmful chemicals, A, and B, in particular, harmful chemicals for women who may be kicked into early menopause, partly as a cause or partly as a...
It's what happens when sometimes we're
just winging it.
Our minds are faster than our body's ability to sort of convert it into
right. So language. Anyway, they may be kicked into early menopause as a consequence of exposure to those products.
Some of the sources. I mean, so many of the sources. Of estrogen that people are unaware of, fat soluble hormones in meat, which is why you want to buy foods that aren't hormonized.
So why are they putting hormones in the meat? Does it make them fatter? Does it make them taste better?
Yeah, doesn't make them taste better. Makes them fatter.
So while
it's like putting the finger on the scale,
right? So while they're raising five pounds
of peanuts less. That thumb that's on the scale there.
Well, they're raising the cattle. They pump them full of these hormones, and then we deal with the consequences later in the product. Is
PCBs,
that right?
PCBs, which were finally outlawed because they never break down in the environment, but are highly estrogenic. Foaming agents and soaps and detergents, tons and tons of pesticides and herbicides are all disruptors, estrogen disruptors. Condom spermicides, right? DDT, which of course was outlawed in this country after billions of pounds of usage, but is sold to other countries that haven't outlawed it, and then those countries raise foods that get exported back to the United States, right?
And that's probably
which is why organic is so critical. Yeah, it may cost a few extra cents, but so what? Right? Cosmetics loaded with estrogen disrupting chemicals and soy. Right? Plastic cookware. Never use a microwave. Take it out of the house, throw away, put it in the garage, donate it to whatever. Stop using them. But definitely, if you're going to use it, don't ever microwave something in plastic. Oh, my gosh. Or covered with plastic.
You know, sadly enough, as you say that, somewhere somebody is doing that very thing. They're microwaving something in plastic. And microwaves have become so ubiquitous in households. How do we motivate people to get rid of those after, 50-some-odd years of them being common in American homes?
Well... it's difficult.
It's
difficult to motivate people to, follow the speed limit. I mean, even.
Well, fair enough. But I guess my point with that is that sometimes you have to make sacrifices which are beyond what you may imagine. And I suspect many of us just take our microwaves for granted, even if it's just for, heating up a cup of water for your tea.
So these chemicals, along with a poor diet which is filled with, processed foods, right, which also contain high glycemic carbohydrates, including sugars. And if you're not paying attention, if you're using commercial products, the pesticides and herbicides and other endocrine disrupting chemicals. Right. And when you eat the low fat diets, which are high in carbohydrates, high in high glycemic carbohydrates, you totally disrupt your body's ability to handle sugars, which again has another disrupting influence. Right. Causes the body to become disabled in its
ability to handle the satiety mechanism, the mechanism that tells us that we're full, right, or not. So that gets totally disrupted, and you also undermine the health of the ovaries, the adrenal glands. And if you produce too much fat by eating low carbohydrate, low fat diets with many, many high glycemic carbohydrates, right, you totally disrupt the body's ability to manage itself, thus complicating and laying the groundwork and aggravating ultimately the menopausal phenomenon.
And I think that's the thing we should all understand, is that these things aggravate, you know, whatever pre-existing conditions we already have. These things can make those worse and also create conditions and build upon the unhealthy nature of those.
And the proof of that, right, is not so much because Paul Rosen is saying it, or even because the studies show it. The most important thing is results. And you notice that for Tracy, she got her roadmap utilizing the nutrition response testing technology. She followed her roadmap, which included the reduction and elimination of these endocrine disrupting factors, right? We went through all of her soaps and detergents and personal cosmetics and replaced them with things which didn't contain these endocrine disruptors, right? Remember, she said it simplified her life, right? And the soaps and detergents, which contained soy and wheat and corn factors, and went through and stopped using the microwave ovens, and started preparing foods in Pyrex or glass or ceramic material or stainless.
So there are steps you can take. That's the good news.
Many, many, many steps. But you can see how the hormone complex gets completely disrupted.
And back to this thing about fat. Sure, we want to eat fat. However, there are certain fats we definitely wish to avoid. More on that next on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, brought to you every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
It's not a myth. It's not magic. It's a program that is wonderful and it works.
Get healthy. Stay healthy.
Your approach is very warm. I feel like you care about whether or not I'm getting better, and that is very encouraging.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
503-225-0860 to speak directly to Paul Rosen this morning. 503-225-0860. Still plenty of time for your call. Get on the line right away and get in on the action. Paul, we were talking about processed fats a few minutes ago. What happens if they go on the air?
What happens if they go on the air?
Well, they could get a copy of one of your books. Ooh, they could get The Missing Piece or The Great Health Heist. And we'll talk about processed fats in just a moment. I wanted to ask you in particular about some particular products and whether or not they constitute processed fat, if they have processed fat in them and therefore should be avoided. In the meantime, tell us, Paul, when and where can people meet you in person next?
I'll be presenting Heart Health, Natural Solutions for High Blood Pressure, High Cholesterol, and High Blood Sugars at Chuck's Produce in Salmon Creek on 117th Street in Vancouver, Wednesday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited. So we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office, 360-750-7375. And save yourself a seat.
Take that number down, 360-750-7375. Okay, processed fats we should avoid, Paul. I asked you about bacon in particular. Bacon is a processed food, is that right?
It is a prepared food, but there's plenty of bacon that people can feast on as long as it's not cured with sugar or other sweeteners, as long as it's raised without hormones and antibiotics. And now we can even get GMO-free, right, and soy-free raised pigs.
So somebody should not be looking at that package of bacon and immediately assuming, oh, this is bad for me.
Absolutely not.
Processed fats.
Absolutely not. But it's very important if you're going to eat pork that you scrutinize the source. I mean, really, really look to see how it's made, what it's made with, under the circumstances. And if it's not clear to you, either put it right back on the shelf call the producer. I know one producer that I'm fond of, Pure Country Pork. And you can find that particular product at New Seasons that I'm aware of. And maybe other places too. And if you want to know where those places are, give them a call. Go right on the web and look it up.
Pure Country Pork. And
It's a Washington outfit. Really nice people.
And the point
really
with all,
great product.
The point with
eat
all
bacon.
That. Let's go to the phones. Jim, you're on the line. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Oh my gosh, I'm having too much fun this morning. Hello, how are you?
I am good.
Good.
So I am a fan of cooking without a microwave for sure. I haven't had one for decades now.
Good on you. Good on you.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
So my question is, on TV, there've been a number of advertisements for these. I think they're copper infused ceramic pots.
Yeah.
You familiar with those?
Not exactly, but the ceramic, you want to check to make sure that the ceramic that they're using is inert. The copper infused is probably so it carries, the heat. Yeah, throughout the pot. But ceramic is a good choice.
Okay. I'd look at that and go, oh my God, they just slip and slide. You put stuff in there, it slips all over. So the cleanup is lovely, but
make sure that there's no additional coating. I mean, there is ceramic cookware, which is just ceramic, nothing else.
Right.
So you just want to make sure that it's not coated with something. Because those coatings do break down. They all break down.
Right. Well, yeah. I go back to the days of Teflon where I just kind of peeled off while I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, nice idea, but
Right. Right. That's where the PFCs, and that's the problem. The problem is that, a long time ago, you sound like you're may remember the Better Living Through Chemistry slogan.
Yeah, I go back to the Seattle World's Fair, and I think it was 1964.
Yeah,
and it was the wonderful world of oil or whatever.
Right,
it was.
And I'm not totally indicting the chemical industry. There's lots of things, lots of materials that we have the advantage of, and I mean the problem is nobody's ever really thought through the toxification of the environment. I mean, if someone actually said, hey, yeah, we're making this new material and look how cool it is, for example, for clothes, for warmth or for protection or whatever. But not much thought, unfortunately, not as much thought, and certainly nowhere near as much of the, money, the resources goes to the safety and protection of the environment. And us, much more money. Much more money goes to the marketing, aspects. This is the latest and greatest, and all that sort of stuff. But it's,
yeah, and everybody wants that. That slip and slide. They just kind of wipe it out, and they're ready for the next.
But
deal. I'm going, yeah. How true is that?
Well, without not only that, toxicity? But a little bit of just soak the pan, a little bit of elbow grease, and boom, you're done. I mean, it's no big deal. It's just,
yeah, we've got stainless right now, and I think that one's just completely fine. So you were saying that the ceramic should not be in
coated.
It should
just
should
make sure be, there's no coating.
Right, there's no coating of any
of
kind,
the ceramic.
Also,
yeah.
Okay, but also you said something about the ceramic should be inert.
That's, generally speaking, ceramic is an inert. That is, it doesn't break down.
Okay.
Even stainless steel breaks down to some degree, especially cheaper stainless steel. So, you know, stainless steel is kind of it's kind of the third tier. I mean, I use some myself, but ceramicware, stoneware, those are the most glass, like right. Pyrex.
Right.
Those three are the most inert substances that you can cook with.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think that's the answer to my question.
Great. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Jim. 503-225-0860. Again, that's the number to call, 503-225-0860.
Do we have time for the next segment of Tracy?
We don't right now, but
you know,
we can get to
her. How come we never have time for Tracy?
Because we're so busy taking care of our callers on the phone, which is always the priority, by the way. When you call,
indeed,
you go right to the top of the importance queue.
Right to the top of the queue.
Okay, so I assume Jin's point there, I mean, you have this coating on cookware. That's the same reason why you would not want to microwave plastic, because the chemicals in that plastic are going to seep into your food. Is
absolutely,
that right?
Absolutely. And what I was going to do is I was going to talk about how to avoid, you know, I've been talking a lot of products, but just sort of, you know, maybe logically list some of these things that you should be doing to help avoiding a hormone, you know, disruptive environment. For example, dietary, we talked about eating a diet focused on locally grown fresh foods, which are organic. Really important. Got to avoid the herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, and fertilizers.
So among
that are hormone disrupting.
Among the many other benefits of the organic food, there's that. They're not raised in a way that's unhealthy.
Correct. And when it comes to meats and dairy, pastured, sustainably raised, hormone free, right? And GMO free. Not pasteurized when it comes to dairy. Right? And if you're gonna eat fish, wild caught fish. Right, not farm-raised. So the smaller fish like anchovies and sardines and wild-caught salmon, which are larger fish, those are good sources if you like fish. And then byproducts that come in glass rather than plastic or cans, because the cans are lined with chemical or, plastic can linings as well as plastic bottles itself. And try to avoid the BPA, that would be identified in a label if you were reading it. And store your food and beverages in glass rather than in plastic.
Even
it's totally
storage.
Available. Fred's got they've got good yeah even in storage. And when you store your food, make sure that you don't put really hot food into plastic containers. If you're not going to go glass, you should go glass, but right, don't put really hot foods in plastic.
There are more things in your house that can harm you in more ways. More on that momentarily on Health Matters.
Indeed. This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. In the meantime, stay with us because we'll be right back and wrap up the exciting adventures of Health Matters coming up. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
If you're not getting any relief or not finding any forward momentum in your path to trying to get back to health, I would suggest you go and look into muscle response testing. Go see Paul.
It's a life-changing. You feel so much better. It's priceless.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
We are in the era of the smartphone. Almost every one of us has some kind of cell or mobile device, and it remains to be seen what the long-term health impacts of those devices will be. However, you can turn your phone right now into a device for your better health by calling us at 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Paul Rosen is right here, right now, standing by to take your call and help you with your health issue. And if you go on the air with Paul right now, you can get a copy of one of his books. You can get The Great Health Heist or the missing piece. Plus, Paul is going to be live and in person later this month at a location where you can come meet him, get some information, and find out more about all this. Paul, when and where is that?
I'll be presenting Heart Health, Natural Solutions for High Blood Pressure, High Cholesterol, and High Blood Sugars at Chuck's Produce in Salmon Creek on 117th Street in Vancouver, Wednesday, September 20th at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call 360-750-7375 and save yourself a seat.
360-750-7375. Before we hear one more segment from your patient, Tracy, her testimonial about her road to better health, Paul, what are some other household items we should be watching out for, maybe even disposing of, because they're no good for us?
Well, we talked about storing your food and beverages in glass rather than plastic. Right now, there are glass storage containers that have a plastic cover. That's fine, because that plastic cover is not touching the food. And if you're taking my advice and not putting in hot food, right, not letting that food cool off before you put it in the refrigerator, which everybody should be doing, and then using glass baby bottles instead of plastic bottles. Replacing your nonstick pots and pans. We were just talking about that with the gentleman who called. Using ceramic or glass cookware, and then down the list, stainless. You can, and then filtering your tap water in order to filter out chemicals, including fluoride, which have negative implications for the bladder. And bladder's most important to repair for any woman who's having hot flashes.
What do we know about styrofoam? Is it a negative thing for us? Does it have chemicals in there that can do us harm?
Sure, but styrofoam, I mean, you don't usually put your food.
No, you don't. But here's my point, you know, is you go home today, anybody listening right now, and you're thinking, I'm going to swing by my local fast food place and grab myself a burger or whatever you're going to get, you know, that chicken sandwich or fish witch or whatever you prefer, they're going to put it in styrofoam.
Yuck.
And then hand it to you. So,
oh, the styrofoam containers.
There you go.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That long-winded lead-up was a way of saying that that fast food is killing you in many ways. Not only is it processed and full of ugly things, which are no good for you, they're putting it in a very container, which is also no good for you.
Indeed.
So watch out for that, too, and just avoid that stuff.
Just in general, look for products made by companies that are earth-friendly, animal-friendly, sustainable, certified organic, GMO-free. These are all things you can look for when you're using a vacuum cleaner. If you use it with a filter, HEPA filters is one of the major routes of exposure to flame-retardant chemicals, which are highly estrogenic, meaning they disrupt your hormones, mechanism. And then avoid stain and water resistant clothing, right? Furniture and carpets to avoid the PFCs. Really important, right? Those are the fire retardant chemicals. Oh my gosh, the list goes on and on and on, but we want to get to Tracy before we go off the air. So
we do. Tracy has dealt with a number of issues. She had menopause issues, but she was able to fix herself in many, many ways.
Because she got her roadmap using nutrition response testing, and then she followed through on that roadmap.
Let's hear the last part of her story.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be really overnight that it would happen. And it's been significantly reduced. So, that's been such a relief.
And then the weight loss?
The weight loss, I'm down 25 pounds. I know.
And I put you on just in a torturous physical exercise regimen, did I not?
Oh, well... You didn't really put me on it. I asked you what you did as far as physically.
Right.
You said that you do yoga or you stretch, and that's
right.
What I've been doing, and I've actually been increasing that a little bit more now that my foot's better.
Now that you're, oh my goodness, and the...
The plantar fascia. Yeah, when I started eliminating the grains and sugars out of my diet.
Just went away, right?
Right, my foot got better.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis is a nutritional
right.
condition.
Right.
Nothing else. Nothing else. And the interesting thing about that is, if you know anything about East Asian medicine and acupuncture, acupuncture energetics, the meridian that runs right down the back of the calf into the foot, i.e. plantar bottom of the foot, is related to the bladder. And wasn't that one of the...
the biggest.
The biggest. And that was also your hot flash problem.
Yes.
Bladder, not ovaries.
Right.
Bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big surprise, don't you think?
Yes. And that was one of the things I felt in within the week of time starting all of this, that function was getting better noticeably. I could tell that.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, wow, that made a huge difference.
Hey, Trace, we got someone else who's called.
Okay.
Don't hang up because I want you to be in the response here.
Okay, and I do. I'm getting ready to go do something. Is how long do you think?
Well, then let me do this before we hop to that. Let me do this. What would you recommend to anybody out there who is confused, who is looking for a roadmap? Sounds like those are the critical things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to change the quality of their life, especially health wise. Using safe, natural, and effective methods. What would you recommend?
First, go to one of your free workshops. Second, of course, I read your book, and that was very informative. Third, get an evaluation. I mean, it's not that expensive, and it's worthwhile, definitely, to just, get it out there and see what you need to do. And more than likely, I mean, you'll go down the path because it ultimately, it's the answer. It is the roadmap, and that's what's important these days.
Well, that was fantastic. A great way to wrap that up. Paul Rosen, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week. What's happening on this program next week?
Some call diabetes, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure a trifecta, but your only reward for this trio is a life of medications or worse. Learn how to avoid or even reverse your fate naturally. And to truly get and stay healthy, you have to accept one truth. What is it? Plus, the top 7 healthiest foods you should consider all this week. In the meantime, you ate your way there into your health condition, and you can eat your way out. It's the food, folks. Remember to keep yours fresh.